FM live and local. Good Monday morning. I'm Scott Hayes. It is 10:07.
KVOE 96.9 FM and 1400 AM presents the Monday Morning Quarterback. Now here are your hosts, Steve Souter, Aaron Harder, Scott Hayes, and Marcus Urkel.
Welcome to the Monday Morning Quarterback. Steve Souter, Aaron Harder, and Scott Hayes in studio this morning. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Good morning, Steve Souter.
Aaron, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's Flag Day. My daughter's turning 9 today.
Uh-oh.
It's nice out.
It is not. And I get to play golf today.
Hey.
I've been a little sabbatical as waiting on, I took some tests in Cleveland last week and had to abstain from golf for a while, but I get to go back and on a 94 degree day. So,
hey, you'll be all right. Just get 9 in, you'll be just fine.
Scott Weiser is going to join us before we're done here, but he had a dental appointment, and I guess the dentist won't let you leave. He'd say, well, I got to go be on the radio, not until I get done with whatever I'm doing. So,
and Scott even gave the right hand signal this morning. It's been a good morning.
Mm-hmm. Although we've made Scotty a little nervous.
Well, it's like Radio 101, 60 seconds before the show's supposed to start, and nobody's sitting in the chairs ready to go. I started to quickly jot down a list of things I was going to talk about.
We
brought
hit
up
intro,
some websites.
We hit the intro just fine.
Brought up some websites for information. Was working on my Kent Weiser impersonation in case I had to like do the interview myself. I got a little nervous, but I started to roll with it. And he's here. We killed enough time. We ate enough innings, Steve, that our guest has arrived.
Good morning, Kent.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
The dental appointment go okay?
It went well, yeah.
You're not blocked up or anything? Going, wah, wah, wah.
No, didn't have any work done. Dr. Kohlmeyer just looked at me and said, we'll see what monitor stuff and
keep
see what
brushing
happens.
And flossing.
So, what's that?
Keep brushing and flossing.
That's it.
I always love going in and get my teeth cleaned and... Used to be Michelle Stewart, and it was always twice semi-annual question. Have you flossed? Have you been flossing? I did today. My semi-annual floss. Well, it's hard.
Yeah.
That's one of the hardest things we get asked to do.
Well, I'm sorry I'm late. I know, but I figured Aaron, you know, he usually jumps the gun. He usually, I've heard so many times how he starts out before the intro is done, so I thought, well,
oh,
maybe.
Whoa. We're not putting
he
that
winked,
on Aaron.
He winked.
See, that's a shot at me, everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, might as well. According to Aaron, that's what everyone really loves about this show is
that's
when we
right.
give each other a hard time. So Kent's that's, just joining the party.
You bet. That's
thanks, awesome. Mr. Weiser.
You can tell he's a listener.
Before we talk to Kent, I want to talk about City Golf Championship, because that probably was the main sports story locally. Unfortunately, we'll have to talk about Royals before we're done, too. They're in another big old funk. But congratulations to Colton Massey. As he throws a 66 at the boys yesterday. He was two shots back, and they played the country club first. And Colton, who's an intern at Koch Industries right now, not getting to play that much golf. He said they're working him pretty hard, but Kent, it was kind of an interesting story. Colton told me Koch has a corporate team. There's a corporate tournament coming up in Wichita, but he has to qualify to be on the team.
Oh, really?
Plus four handicap. Well, we know quite a few people that work at Koch and that are pretty good golfers,
yeah,
too.
So. That's...
Yeah, his strategy was good. He trailed Chase Coble. And my grandson, Brooks, both shot 71s at the country club. I think they were pretty happy about that. But in Colton's interview with Greg afterwards, he said, I knew I needed to get off to a fast start, and he did. He birdied two of the first four holes, shot 33 on the front, 33 on the back, and away he went. So I thought one of the interesting parts of the tournament was the family feud. The Masseys, Colton's dad, Lane, was in the first flight. And his other son, Caden, was in the championship flight. They both ended up in fourth place. And my crew, Jamie was in the first flight and ended up winning it. Shot really good round, 72, won over par yesterday. And Lane was fourth in that flight. So I call it a draw in the family feud. They had the overall champion and 2 fourth-place finishes, and we had the A-flight champion and 2 third-place finishes. So kind of fun, though, and kind of unique. They asked Colton about playing with his brother, and he said, yeah, that was different. And evidently wasn't too stressful.
No.
And then on the ladies' side, the Eckert girls came to play again, and they got first and third. Avery, they're both going to be juniors in high school, so that speaks well for kids golf, which kids golf is doing well all over the Emporia area. But I don't know. They hadn't posted the scores, and he sent me scorecards. I got to look at scorecards. We'll circle back to that, and I'll tell you what they. I don't know what Avery shot yesterday at the country club. I just know she won. Kelly McInerney was second, and her sister Ava was third.
One of Kent's fellow employees up at ESU, right. Kelly McInerney.
Right.
Yeah.
She got a gorgeous swing.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play with her, but I.
Well, you got to play more than once a year.
Well,
Kent.
That's true.
In order to play with
Steve's group.
Yeah, in order to play with people besides Steve and Coach Higgins, you got to play more than once a year.
She. Kelly has, or maybe it's Allison Garrett, the president, because they were paired together in the ladies' scramble a couple of weeks ago, and right. They won it going away.
Right.
So the president is like me. She knows how to find good partners.
That's the key. That's right.
that's absolutely the key. Well, let's turn our attention to Kent Weiser and I guess one of the things on your plate, you lost one of your associate athletic directors. How's the replacement plan going?
Good. Steve, it's going well. When Christy announced that and that she had earned that job at Rockhurst, I jokingly I've told her I was in denial for the first week or 10 days thinking that this isn't really happening. This
Ditto.
Is going to be a yeah. Even teased her. I said there's got to be a parking ticket or something on your background check that will stop this from going through. But Christy was so uniquely qualified to join us and really bring so many things and hit the ground running. We've been very spoiled with Herb and following Carmen Leeds, who was with us for 17 years. So that position is critical. Certainly the student athlete welfare and academic support and compliance and training room and so many things. So, but the pool has been very good, been very deep. And so we've identified, we had some Zoom meetings that I was trying to look for positive things from the pandemic. And I think all of us learning how to do Zoom meetings more. It was that technology was there, and we, old timers like me got forced into learning it. So we had some of those and have narrowed it down. So we're close to being able to have people visit Emporia and I will tell you, Steve, as I mentioned, Christy and Carmen, the one thing I thought of when we go in, we can't try and get a replacement for Christy because she was so uniquely qualified with, 14 years of coaching success and administrative roles, associate AD at Arkansas Tech. So, that was going to be a little different. And so, but each of the candidates that we talked to bring in unique, qualifications and experience that I think given a chance to make the job their own, we're going to be all right. We're going to do real well.
So you got a time frame?
Probably I'd like to have it wrapped up a week from Friday. So this week and next week are going to be keys to getting people scheduled and having a chance to. I've had several phone conversations with the candidates and like I said, some Zoom meetings and all of that to try and I look at this as recruiting, really. I want every candidate to really want this job and really want to come to Emporia. And so you know, we really, it's a two-way street. It's on us to make sure we explain what we are and who we are, and is this a fit? Is this something you would be excited about? And so they are, you know, I think we've got a, like I said, a strong pool. It'll be tough to narrow it down, but.
Well, they better be people who want to work, because you give them, you certainly know how to delegate. I mean, you need to, because you're certainly not overstaffed in the athletic department.
You're right. They know that, and that's the thing, you know, they've expressed that they want to be involved in lots of things and not be kind of cornered into, you know, okay, this is my area.
Just compliance.
Right.
They need to, you said that you didn't want to replace Christy, but I think it's important that they have a son that's a good athlete and a daughter that's cuter in hell.
Those would all be bonuses, that's for sure.
And if their significant other works in
nuclear energy,
we could probably get them a job.
Boy, that would all be that would fit together. That's why I'd say it's a hard.
We're not trying to replace exact replacement, but
yeah.
Let's lay out what everybody's nice. Looking for. Well, other than
the significant other, also needs to be a beer drinker.
Yeah. So. You're not able to find that out during the interview, not during the Zoom process. Maybe that'll when we get the.
switching gears. What's going on with your budget? I know your coaches have. I know Craig Doty is maybe the only one that's really talked about it, but you know he said to us one day. He said the university's looking at a pretty significant budget cut,
right.
He said men's basketball is participating. So
yes, first of all, just ridiculous times for higher education, and the state is always state budget stuff is always that's going to fluctuate, but the mix between online classes and in-person classes is changing, and the traditional college student, the traditional out of high school young adult come to and reside in at your campus, that is changing, and so all of that has an effect on Emporia State's income, and certainly it does. We are a part of Emporia State, so President Garrett has really tried hard to help us in not have significant cuts because we provide those 450 on campus traditional student athletes.
You can't play sports via Zoom.
That's right, and so they're going to be they're going to be here. If we can give them a little bit of scholarship money, the vast majority of ours pay part of their tuition out of their pocket. So, that's been helpful. But Coach Doty is right, and his program, had to participate. It's a little hard to explain. A scholarship. What's a scholarship cost? Well, it depends on what your tuition is, and then that's dependent on what state you reside in, and so you've got Kansas rates that are lower, and then you've got the surrounding states, the near program, and basically the Midwest states or plain states have a little higher, and then the complete the complete out of states. And so, men's basketball and football had to, we had to talk about, getting that to where it's, we've always concentrated on more local, or regional recruits, but baseball actually too, from Arizona. Arizona is not a discounted state, if you will. So, we've had to pull back on some of those and say, you can't take a chance on as many student athletes. You can't say, okay, this is, after a couple of years of development, this person will be an impact student athlete. Well, and of course now with the transfer portal, that muddies the water even more because you're less apt to try and develop a kid from way out of you know, out of the region, and then have them do real well, and then they're going to get, you know, they're going to have questions on, okay, is there another level for me? Is there another place? Because now they're a proven that they can compete at this level. So it's boy, what a long answer to your question. Sorry about that.
But it just goes to prove that it literally affects almost every kid up there.
Yes. Yeah, it sure does.
And you
haven't even mentioned pandemic.
Yeah. You know, see, I was just going to say that the last piece on that is, you know, how many years eligibility does somebody have left? I mean, that's a, you know, that's a question, because everyone got a free year, a free being able to compete without.
NASA's helping figure that stuff out. Don't they have an algorithm? NASA does. You just let NASA know.
It's got to be.
Here's his name. John James. How many years?
That you've got to have. Because you could have a sixth or a fourth year freshman. I mean, you could redshirt, you could have a medical hardship, then you have a free COVID year, and it really is, and that affects the coaches. With then they say that doesn't count against your equivalency, your team limits, which not many of our teams hit that anyhow. But the money is still limited.
Yeah.
And so they've got to, you know, explain to an incoming, you know, freshman from high school that I can't do as much for you this first year because I've got this fifth or sixth year, you know, player that's coming back that wants to come back and finish. So
And then you get the situation where, and I don't know that it's happened at Emporia State, but I promise you it's happened, where you've got someone that's a senior, that has been a good player, but maybe not a great player. And all of a sudden they decide, well, I want to stay for another year. And they're getting a couple $1,000s towards their.
Yes.
And the coach has to say, well, you're welcome to stay, but we can't give you anything.
Right.
You pay your own way.
Right. It's a difficult balance for sure, because you want to help kids through. The idea is to graduate, and you know, some of them are from pretty meager beginnings and you know, have a financial need. But as you look through that, it's come down, what can we do? And you know, you'll try. And we've always had fifth year people and always kind of put them on a little work detail that it's like, okay, we can give you a couple $1,000s towards your tuition, but you're going to help the athletics department, either, you know, a student assistant coach, student managers, filmers, game day personnel. You do something like that because you'd like to get everybody through, but boy, it's not as easy as
you get any help at Division II. From the NCAA, is the money pretty much limited to helping with championships and that type of thing?
We get a each Division II gets a piece of the entire NCAA budget, the television budget, and so ours is Emporia State's around $6,000 a year. You know, which isn't, yeah,
nice, but not very nice.
That's right. It's limited. So we get that, but there's been no extra, ability. And of course the NCAA has their own financial problems that this is all brought about. So, there's just not enough to go around, and we've got to figure out a way to manage through that.
Did you get that check last year, even though they didn't have March Madness?
Yes. Yeah, we did. They there is a reserve fund that they have for catastrophic events, and then I know I've heard that they had an insurance policy on the Final Four, and there, that is the big, you know, that is it. That,
right.
The men's Final Four is the thing that pay the bills.
Well, so, once the NCAA gets somebody that's a good negotiator, and you guys get a real good TV contract coming up here in 3 or 4 years, that money should go up too. This new 12-team playoff, that should bring some more money in too. You guys might get up to $6,600.
Well, college football is a little different because the college football playoff Foundation, that's a different, that's like the College Football Association.
Oh, they don't share with D2?
Right. they don't share with hardly anybody. I mean, you know, other than the Power Five, other than that's why that all came to be years ago with bowl games and TV contracts. Back when I was still at Oregon State, that was happening, and so they kind of broke away, and so the NCAA, they will sanction bowl games, or they'll say yes, this is legitimate, but they don't participate in that. That's all by the conferences themselves.
Okay, so when you hear, for instance, if Oklahoma makes the college football playoff, and it's worth $8 million to them and $1 million to all the other Big 12 schools, none of that trickles down to D2.
Correct.
All right.
Go March Madness.
Right. Yeah, that's go March Madness. That's
what,
it.
What about Steve had said last week, Women's College World Series is the third highest ranked NCAA for viewership. What about College World Series and Women's College World Series?
All of those are still under the umbrella of the NCAA. So, yeah, the Omaha, getting ready to go to Omaha here for the Men's World Series and the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City, and those are all. It's great to see those gaining, you know, the Women's Final Four and Women's Basketball. All those now go into the pool of NCAA's enhancement. I don't know what they call it.
I saw the Women's College World Series. Even though that game three, it was like at 2 p.m, it still outdrew one of the NHL games and one of the NBA games that night. So that's good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, Kent Weiser is our guest. We need to get a break in. We'll come back more with Kent. I want to know about the condition of the MIAA. I want to know about paying players. That would be interesting at Division II. Make his life not much easier. So this is Monday Morning Quarterback, and Bruce Davis Construction makes it all possible. You're listening to KVOE. We're live and local.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis Construction will give you quality work. Bruce Davis Construction's proud to be involved in recent jobs, including the addition of Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Bruce Davis Construction, call 342-5001. Bruce Davis Construction.
14 KVOE is proud to bring you Feel Good Fridays.
It puts you in the best mood.
Share the good news. If you are tired of hearing all the bad stuff, let us know anything good we should all know about. Call 342-1400 or email KVOE at KVOE.com, and we will feature a story every Friday.
It makes you feel good.
14 KVOE, live. We want your good news and local.
The one you depend on, KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. It's time now to check local headlines being brought to you by the Insurance Planning Center. See Roger Winfrey for commercial lines or Barb Christiani for personal lines at the Insurance Planning Center with offices in Emporia and Eureka. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, here is Chuck Samples.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning, everybody. The Emporia Community Foundation is celebrating a milestone year. It's a year late due to COVID-19, but the organization is marking its 25th year of serving the area with Emporia Community Foundation Celebrates, a week-long set of activities and special surprise grant announcements taking place all week to highlight its work. Speaking of fundraising, that continues for the Law Enforcement Torch Run and for Ron's Ride, KVOE General Manager Ron Thomas's 10-mile bike ride to Olpe, benefiting Kansas Special Olympics taking place on Wednesday. And with this being Flag Day, the Emporia Lions Club have a special activity planned for this afternoon and evening, flying flags on the Prairie Street pedestrian walkway above Interstate 35 from 4 until 6 p.m. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Sunshine and hot today with a high of 93, and it gets hotter from here. 95 on Tuesday, 97 Wednesday, and 100 degrees for Thursday. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. Light and variable wind, a mostly sunny sky, 81 degrees. Headlines, a service of the Insurance Planning Center, 726 Commercial, downtown Emporia, just east of Jimmy John's. Things happen, and IPC is there to help when they do. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and a local. Now back to the Monday Morning Quarterback.
All
All right, welcome back to the Monday Morning Quarterback, Steve and Aaron and Scott and Kent Weiser, the Director of Athletics at the University. Before we go back to Kent, though, Aaron, before I went out to watch golf at the Muni, I was watching the French Open final, and when I left, Novak Djokovic was down two sets and getting his butt kicked. And this morning, I hadn't seen any reports, and I opened up my phone, and I found out he came back and won the dang thing.
He did. I watched the first two sets as well, and then he was up 5-3 in the third, and that's when we went out to the lake. But I kept watching it on my phone, and the Tsitsipas kid from Greece played a fantastic match. But, man, Joker's good, and when he's got momentum going, it's pretty hard to beat him.
Well, they think he's an old man, but he's just 32, which shouldn't be. I mean, that's getting there. But now he's got 19 majors. And
one behind.
Behind Federer and Nadal.
Yep.
So.
And that's his second career Grand Slam.
So. And then pretty interesting, too, was the PGA Golf. Garrick. I've got it here. Hang on just a minute, and I'll find it on my phone because I want to.
Oh, the winner?
Yeah.
Was it Hugo or who?
Higo was H-I-G-G-O.
Higo. Higo, Gary, yeah. Let me just read this from some golfers wait years and years to just have a chance to contend in their first PGA Tour win. Others do so in their first start. Garrick Higo took the 2021 Palmetto Championship at Congaree on Sunday at 11 under by a stroke over six players who tied for second. It was his first start at a PGA Tour event. That's not a major. He's played in some majors, like he qualified for the U.S. Open and stuff like that.
I think he played in the PGA last or 2 weeks ago.
Well, it's his first start at a PGA Tour event that is not a major championship.
I think it's only his second PGA start overall. Yeah. But he's been wherever he had been playing. He had won like three tournaments earlier in the year, and
it was his third win in his last five starts worldwide.
Yeah, so a European kid that came over and making the switch to the PGA, and obviously his game translate. But he did need some help. He needed quite a bit of help.
Well, yeah, because
the Hadley kid had three stroke.
Cason Hadley, and he hadn't won in 7 years. We talked about him on Saturday.
Three stroke lead with three to play.
Yeah. And he was 13, 14 under starting the day yesterday, and 11 wins it. So, but that golf course was, they're making the golf courses tough.
They're still shooting 11 under. I mean, these guys are really good. So you got to do something because length does not affect PGA Tour players anymore.
I think that's true. So, Kent, what do you watch? You watch any of this stuff on TV?
A little bit, you know, in golf, certainly the majors are things that I watch more than and now you know the college worlds or you know NCAA men's baseball. Yeah, you know I've been really enjoying that. Hated to see the Beavers get bounced by Dallas Baptist, but boy, Dallas Baptist
is playing good.
Man, they're the real thing. So. So I watched that. I enjoyed the College World Series, the women's, you know, College World Series. And so, you know, that's – and then the usual stuff, you know, with football.
Had to be fun watching softball a little earlier with Christy Bredbener having so much success.
That was great. That was, you know, and nothing – nothing to be ashamed of getting beat by the eventual national champion.
And had him down for a while.
Yeah, that's right. So
for people who don't know, Kent gave Christy Bredbener her first head coaching job at the college level, and she responded pretty well.
Yeah, to say the least. That's good. I remember when Eric Sexton, that was the AD at Wichita State, and he called me you know, after RC, when that search was going on, and he said, you know, I think we've been doing this all wrong at Wichita State. He said we've been searching for Division I assistants and up and comers, and here, 75 miles up the road, there's a proven, you know, Division II coach at Emporia State that is took us to the World Series twice and the national championship game twice, and so. You know, that's another one of those where you're selfishly disappointed, but really happy.
Yeah,
that,
she's got all kinds of parking tickets. You don't want her.
Yep.
Can't MIAA, the conference the Hornets participate in, added a couple teams over the last couple of years. What's the health and status of the MIAA through all this?
It's very strong. I think Commissioner Racy, Mike Racy, has done a really good job of leading us through this. And, you know, our conference, you know, we got all of our basketball games in. And, you know, through this last year, which was really remarkable. I mean, I don't know. I think there was just one other conference that was able to do that. So lots of rescheduling and shuffling stuff around. But financially, we're solid, you know, due to good leadership on Mike's part and on the President's Council. And so, yeah, the Rogers State and Newman, you know, they are still associate members. They're not full members because when we last year just got in the way of everything, and not having fall seasons 2 years ago, not having a spring season or whatever it is, whenever it was, 18 months ago, you know, you can't. So, but the 12, you know, football program schools are all seem to be doing well and happy with stuff. And like every, and the presidents are actually meeting today, I think, as we speak, to follow up on you know, are we doing things properly as far as scheduling and those kind of things. But there's no major you know, concerns or anything other than this, the thing that you're going to bring up here in a little bit is the name, image, and likeness stuff and how that's going to affect us. So
Newman and Rogers State, new members or associate members, neither one of them play football?
Correct.
So you let them in for...
Right, for all of the sports.
Has that worked out okay, you think?
Yeah, it has. You know, they are within our geographic region. They're you know, Rogers is close to the edge, but that's kind of nice to be able to have to not go any farther than you're already
closer than Kearney.
But closer than Kearney, that's right.
Closer in Northeast, too.
Yeah, it's closer than Tahlequah.
Yes, that's right.
Tulsa. Claremore is just outside of Tulsa.
Right.
Correct.
So that's a pretty easy.
That's a good for us, you know, and that's the thing for Emporia State. We're so fortunate just on our geographic location that if you can get those and not spread the outskirts, you're going to be fine.
It has to help recruiting.
Our biggest, you know, our longest trip is to Kearney. And so if we can keep it like that, we're doing well.
Well, and Adam Newman has to help. I mean, they're the second closest now.
It is, and bringing in the Wichita market and things like that, I think all are you know, was a really positive. They've been a real positive addition, and so that membership seems stable, and we're just rolling along.
Well, we were talking off air about name, image, and likeness, and. I don't even know how to explain it. Why don't you take a crack
at
that?
The old rules used to be that if you are a student athlete, you cannot benefit financially from your name, image, or likeness as it associates with your athletics participation. So somebody wanted to put a regular, I'm going to say regular college student, but a non-student athlete on an ad or do an ad or something promoting a product, the student athlete could not do that, even though it didn't have anything to do with their athletics participation. So the name, image, likeness thing, you know, it was a Division I driven deal. I can't think of the word that I would want to use on that, but they looked at that and said, you know, that's not right, that student athletes should have at least the same opportunities that other students would have, and you know, to financially benefit from their name and their brand, their personal brand, and those kind of
so,
things.
So, for example, Jace McNown might be able to say, I eat at Coach's once a week, and it's great, and they might give him a free meal.
Yes. And that
right now, he can't do that.
Correct. Correct. Okay. That is exactly, that's a great example of, you know, of what we're trying to, you know, be fair with. And, you know, with the internet now, and of course, you know, how people can create their own podcasts and things. And we've seen videos of, you know, young student athletes that have a, you know, one of them had a home improvement business and or, you know, they'd be like a, like fix up your house. Here's how to change your faucet or whatever. And now that will all be, and they have followers. And so, because I always thought, how do you make money with that? Well, then the faucet company will sponsor you and want to be have an ad on your thing that, hey, this is Scott Hayes, the home improvement guy, and you know I like these faucets. And so
I can't fix a faucet. I can fix a weed eater though.
you tell them the name of a good faucet company though.
Yeah. Kohler, is that one?
Kohler.
Yeah. So
Delta.
So when does this? And then talk a little bit about the legislative process because the NCAA has never been able to come up with a plan, right?
Right. Correct.
So now the legislatures in a bunch of states have.
They're pushing it. Each individual state is pushing. California, I think, was on the forefront.
Well,
of this.
It's already passed, and a lot of it goes into effect in 30 some states, July 1st.
July 1st.
That's
right.
Coming up quick.
And so that will. And you know, the Kansas. I don't think we have anything passed yet, but there has been legislation that goes through that. Well, the NCAA's concern, and the NCAA is a voluntary organization. You pay dues to be in it, and you have to. So they say you're going to follow our rules. Well, so if the NCAA rules contradict what the law says, pardon me, what are you going to do? So then you'd think, okay, we need to have a national, you know, bar set here that this is what is going. So then it goes to the United States Congress, and I know there's some legislation or some proposals that are in there. I know Senator Moran, President Garrett, and I talked with one of his representatives a couple of months ago that about a you know fairness in college sports and for the student athlete. And so that you would hope that there would be some kind of national that we could all follow, because now if you're in California, you got one set of rules for those student athletes. If you're in West Virginia, you got a different one. And so there can be that, you know, college athletics likes to have as level playing
right,
field
as much fairness as possible.
But even if let's say the U.S. Congress decided this needs to be the law. But would that prohibit the NCAA from continuing to prohibit it?
I think, that's an attorney question. But
I mean, you go the other direction.
Well, I mean, it's a volunteer organization, so if you're part of the NCAA, it's going to be their rule. But it's going to be really easy for the Power Five schools to say, "Why do we need the NCAA if they're not allowing this?" And well, they probably break away.
And then the other side of it is that we've had there's states where you can smoke marijuana, and but that's
you're right.
In Colorado, you can smoke marijuana, but if you're in the NCAA in Colorado, you don't smoke.
And you get drug tested. You're right.
So
a great example of.
So what's holding the NCAA back?
The variety of members that we have, and because when you're talking about the Power Five and then you're talking about Division Three and Division Two is right in the middle, the different pressures that they are under, the different opportunities they have for television and all that, you know, their product is, as you get into high Division One, and I got to speak carefully because I don't want to paint with too broad a brush that you know, making money is pretty important. I mean, you've got to, for certain sports, you've got to be able to, the more you're on TV, the better. And so we, Division II, Division III, I want to say the pendulum swings more towards the education side, but it doesn't mean we're playing intramurals.
Sure.
We're going to win too, and we're going to, you know, we're going to get after it. But the pot at the end of the rainbow is different for us than it is for the pressures that a lot of the Division I big.
Isn't the biggest fear in this though is that you have businesses that are big boosters of a program, and then they start sponsoring an athlete for ads and paying them, and it, you know, whereas like, are you, what are they really doing for you? I think that's what they're afraid of. I honestly, I think a Division II in some ways might benefit more from this change, just because you have athletes who they know they're not, a lot of them know they're not going to go beyond their college career, and they're kind of stars, especially here in a small town like Emporia. You're stars here for the 4 years, and there's a number of businesses that maybe you frequent regularly that would be willing to, mm-hmm. you know, as even as Steve said, even if it's a, you know, a meal or two a month or, you know, something like that, even if it's a couple hundred dollars, there's a benefit to some of these right. these student athletes to help, just a little bit would help over the course of their 4 years, and I could see that being more of a benefit at some of these lower levels than the Division I.
For the student.
For the student.
But I, yeah, which I think the NCAA has been dragging. Kent can't say it, but I think what's holding it up is leadership. They've never been able to make a decision on this, so now they have to have Congress make the decision. But like you said, Scott, if there's a big booster at Alabama who gives $1 million a year to the football program, and now he can give $200,000 to the top five players at Alabama, then that money's not going to the school at all. It's going directly to the student. So that's why they're dragging their feet.
Well, and I was trying to – sitting here running my swab on competitive advantage in the MIAA. And you've got Central Oklahoma that sits in Edmond, Oklahoma, which is a big metropolitan area, have a big TV market. You got Wichita involved now. Mm-hmm. You've got Roger State with mm-hmm. Tulsa. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure Division II athletes are going to be – I think a Division II athlete might be a bigger draw, as Scott said, in Emporia than they would be in Wichita or Oklahoma City.
Very true. Very true. You got that's a good – great points on that everyone's made, because it is a real question. I think the apprehension comes from the recruiting advantage, the possible recruiting advantage. And Aaron, you hit it absolutely on the head that you just take those, your Alabama example, just move the decimals a couple of places and then you're where we would be. And to divert money away from overall athletics department sponsorships to individuals, and then the reluctance of everyone is like, okay, how do you do that when you have somebody coming in and it's like a recruit coming in and saying, hey, this guy has guaranteed me.
But Kent, if that was going to happen, if that was really going to be a factor at the Division II level, it would already be happening. Now they can't advertise and they can't give the money directly to the kid. But they can give the money to the university, and that money can then be paid out in the form of a scholarship.
You're not supposed to name the person.
I understand
you're not
that,
supposed to be able to pick the person. So, yes.
But you know you've got people who want to do that. I mean, I know you've got somebody that might say, if you get a 6'6", 300-pound offensive lineman, I'll pay for his
yes,
whatever.
Yes. That does happen, and that can happen. And, you know, we try and yeah, as we work with supporters and donors, try to, you know, do as much as we can to make sure they're happy with their participation. But it's just the concern that everyone would have that, and there might be some unscrupulous. I was talking, Scott, with Aaron when you were in the booth about, you know, agents and who's going to monitor that? How's that going to work? Is there going to be an agent in Emporia, Kansas that goes out and talks to businesses and says, you know, don't Don't sponsor the radio.
Yeah.
Don't sponsor signage.
Mackenzie DeMarco is the best player in the MIAA. Sponsor her.
And yes. And
well,
then
it could hurt us.
And they're going to take a – yes, it could. And they're going to take a cut. The agent's going to take a cut. Now, and, you know, for the young person that has the ability and the knowledge to be able to start their own brand, their personal brand, and I mentioned the home improvement type thing, but whatever, you know, that's great. That's the why we're doing this. But you always, I don't know, the competitive side in all of us, I think some kind of, okay, wait a minute. You know, how's that going to work out on the dark side of things? And that's what you're always kind of concerned about. No one's trying to do what's not right for the student athletes. We want to, you know, and make them feel more like regular students anyhow. And you know, but, and Steve, your was right. You know, you can get a job, and you know, we have a lot of businesses in town that hire our, you know, a lot of our football players are here during the summer and, voluntarily working out, you know, they work out with us. And so they get a job, but, we do have to know where they're working and how much they're getting paid. And it's got to be market value and, you know, who sets the market value for this kind of stuff. Is it worth $100 to, if you come and do an ad for us, or is it worth $500? Or
it's worth whatever somebody's willing to pay.
Well, shoveling snow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
We avail ourselves of some football players and,
yeah,
you know, but you can't pay them $300 to shovel your snow. You know, you can if you don't get caught, I suppose.
Yeah. You know, and I've asked football players to come help me move when I moved, you know, houses and so, yeah, that's good. But you got to, you know, you got to say, okay, how many, you know, what's that worth? And what would I hire somebody else to do that? You know,
Well, it sounds like it's going to get started, and it sounds like the NCAA really needs to come up with a policy, and they haven't so far, and Aaron threw it on leadership, and I don't know, we can talk about that, but we need to get our second break in. I want to talk when we come back about the Royals, and I want opinions from you guys. Number one, I think they need to rest Whit Merrifield. I think he's playing tired. I mean, I know he's played in 300, and I think it's 60 games in a row now, and he's like 50 games short of Alcides Escobar's
record,
Royals record. But he needs to play better, and he's, for 5 or 6 years, he's played a lot better than he's playing this year. So I think he needs rest, and then I want to know what you think about Soler, if they're wasting their time on him, because yesterday they walked Salvi intentionally to bring Soler to the plate. He would have been the lead run, and he hit a weak fly ball. So that's a question. And then, are they making the right decision, these young pitchers? I know they say it takes time, but they haven't been very good, particularly Kowar. And so we'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll finish up with Kent Weiser. As you're listening to the Monday Morning Quarterback, we're driven by LongBoundAuto.com.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis Construction will give you quality work. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent jobs, including the addition of Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Bruce Davis Construction, call 342-5001. Bruce Davis Construction.
It's grown live and local. Don't miss the Emporia Farmers Market, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. KVOE, 1400 a.m. and 96.9 FM.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. It's time now for sports headlines being brought to you by Bruff Sports Bar and Grill. Featuring daily lunch specials, a menu full of fresh food, and your favorite beverages as well. Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18th. Now with KVOE Sports Headlines, here is Greg Ray.
Thank you, Scott, and good morning. The Oakland A's outscored the Kansas City Royals 6-3 yesterday. The A's hit three home runs off of Royals starter Chris Bubich. Offensively, the Royals had their chances. Andrew Benintendi, Carlos Santana hit solo home runs, and the Royals stranded eight base runners, but not enough. After a 1-6 road trip, the Royals return to Kansas City to begin a 6-game homestand. They host the Detroit Tigers tonight. Brad Keller on the mound for the Royals. First pitch set for 7:10. Our coverage begins at 6:30 here on KVOE. There was a first-time winner and a repeat winner for the Emporia Men's and Women's City Golf Championships over the weekend. Colton Massey won the Emporia Men's City Golf Championship for the first time. He shot a 5-under-66 yesterday at the Emporia Golf Course and finished the 2 days at 4-under-par. Chase Colbel finished in second place, Brooke Sauter third, Caden Massey fourth. Jamie Sauter won the A flight, Taylor Clark the B flight, Justin Ray the C flight. Fuji Ortiz was the low senior, Brooke Sauter the low junior. For the second year in a row, Avery Eckert won the Emporia Women's City Golf Championship. Kelly McInerney finished second, and Olivia Eckert finished in third place. The Emporia Senior American Legion baseball team wrapped up playing the Sam Ellis Classic with a 4-1 loss to the Topeka Scrappers yesterday. The Scrappers would win the championship game, outscoring the Topeka Senators 9-1. Up next for the Emporia Legion teams, the Junior Legion plays at Topeka against the Senators on Tuesday. The Senior team's at Newton on Wednesday. That's a look at sports. I'm Greg Ray, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports headlines, a service of Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, featuring daily lunch specials, a menu full of fresh food, and your favorite beverages as well. Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18th. And don't forget their new Sunday hours, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Now back to the Monday Morning Quarterback.
All right, welcome back. This is the Monday Morning Quarterback, not Saturday morning. I guess I said Monday morning right. I just gave Longbine a little extra push. They sponsor our Saturday morning sports talk. And we have ascertained, I guess we didn't talk about it on air, but Central Missouri, their baseball program, they're good, aren't they, Kent?
Yes, yes. They are as good as I've ever seen them. Yeah, really impressed. Knew they were going to go deep into the tournament.
They got into the final game of the NCAA Division II. They play that in Cary, North Carolina. We spent some time there.
Yeah, we sure did.
And they played Wingate, which is a North Carolina school.
The sixth seed.
What's that?
They were the sixth seed.
And UCM was the first seed, weren't they? And they lost 5-3 Saturday in the championship game. It was kind of interesting because in the bracket play, they played the University or Tampa. I don't know if it's University of Tampa, but Tampa, Florida, the school. They played them 3 times in the bracket play.
Okay. Yep.
And I think Wingate got there without having to play the multiple games, so that might have been a big advantage to them. But whatever. So the Mules, second place, kind of just defines how tough the MIAA is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the Hornets had one win over them this year.
I don't think so.
I thought we did, but anyway.
They swept us here, and boy, they were impressive.
46-8 was their final record. Wingate's final record, 39-13.
Yeah, I'll be done.
So
that's
who's
a lot
hot
of games.
It's who's hot at the right time.
That's right. That's why you play them.
So, in Cary, North Carolina, the Olympic Training Center for baseball.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still is, but I think it is.
I'm not sure. It's beautiful. When we were there,
Kind of had to take a few country roads to find it.
You're right. I remember that. Yep.
It was pretty amazing. That was a good trip. We were there 10 days.
Yeah.
For
baseball college. Is a long, when you're trying to only play so many games a day or not trying to play consecutive days, and when you got double elimination tournaments. And
the bracket's a little different now,
it
though.
It is, yeah.
Because back then, we found out you could get by with 2 starters and a good relief corps. And have a chance because they give you days off if you're winning.
Right.
Now, if you lose, then you got to fight your way. That doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Aaron, what about my Royals question? First of all, Kent, you follow the Royals?
Not as closely as I should. I certainly listen to them. I listen to them on the air. I don't watch them on TV very much because I don't watch very much TV at all. But I listen to them when they're on KVOE And so I enjoy that, but I enjoy, the player you mentioned, Whit Merrifield and Salvador Perez, and it's fun to see those guys that develop and
those boys need some help though.
Yeah, they've had some offensive struggles.
What do you think, Aaron?
They've been streaky all year. I mean, Five-game win streak here, five-game losing streak followed right behind it. So, I don't know. I never know where to go on resting a guy or not. I mean, they'll get one or two off days a week. Is that really a rest day? What are you going to sit them for a whole series, just one extra game? I think they are what they are.
Steve. He hit a foul ball off his right foot, which is hard to do as a right-handed batter. And I think it is really. And then you switch gears because you know he's going to be good at some point. But Soler.
Yeah, I'm more worried about Soler's woes than because he's. I mean, I don't care. He's the kind of guy, if you strike out 10 straight at bats, fine, but you got to hit a home run for us every once in a while.
And I think he's only hit 5 in his last full big season. He hit 48.
Right. So
I think this series, because it's going to be warm, and that's what they've been waiting for. They said warm weather will help him. And I have a feeling this 6-game homestand, he better produce.
Could be big for him.
Because
yeah.
They've got guys in Omaha lighting it up.
They do have guys in Omaha lighting it up.
So we'll see.
And the young pitchers, they got to come up at some point. So
boy, but they've, particularly Kowar, he just hasn't had a clue. I mean, 3 wild pitches in his first start, and then 3 walks in an inning and a third in his second start.
I think once you make the decision to start him as a young kid, you got to stay with him for longer than two or three outings.
Really, I think Kowar's got one more because he's been worse than bad. He's been awful. And Bubik was good yesterday, except for the 3 pitches they hit home runs off of. So I don't know.
Well, and the hard thing with the young arms is, I mean, you can dominate up in Omaha, and then you get called up to the majors, and you know your first start's all nerves, they say, and then your second start you're supposed to get a little bit better. And if you don't get good after the 4th start, they send you back to Omaha, and you light it up again. What do you do with this kid?
Yeah, Kowar was 5-0 at Omaha and had an ERA of 0.50, so half a run per 9 innings. That's pretty good, even at Omaha. So
well,
anyway.
We were talking College World Series and the Super Regional, Arkansas, number 1 team. They got a kid that hadn't given up a run since, I don't even remember, like first game of the season or something, and he goes out and pitches, I think, 7 1/3 for their in the final game of their Super Regional game and gives up 4 runs. Is he not a good pitcher now?
I'm not sure who he played. Dayton Moore's son, does he play for Arkansas?
I don't remember that name.
Robert Moore.
Yeah, I don't know.
A good player. BJ
could answer if he's listening.
He's got major league potential. So anyway, well, we got to get out of here because talk of Emporia's coming up. You know what they're doing?
I don't know what they're doing. Oh, Central Care Cancer Center. Those are good programs. She's a really good host.
Yeah, there we go. So
NBA still going on, Steve.
I know.
We got our first team into the semifinal.
Well, the question there is, can the Nets win without Kyrie and without James Harden? Because Kyrie sprained his ankle, and he's pretty doubtful for tomorrow.
They would need 45-plus point games from Kevin Durant, which isn't impossible.
That's kind of what I heard this morning. I was prepared to talk NBA, but Kent, we've had so much relevant stuff to talk with Kent. And we can always talk NBA. I mean, talk NBA 9 months out of the year. You think?
We can. We try.
Okay. Kent, thanks for joining us.
You bet, Steve. Thank you for having me.
It's been interesting. And, Aaron, I'll let
Marcus will be back next week. We'll figure out the over-under on Marcus. What did he tell us? 81?
He said, I bet he shoots better than that.
I know. He's setting his own over-unders now. We're supposed to set the over-unders. But he said, I'm heading to Warrensburg. They've made the track pretty tough. I'd set it at 81. Well, you can't know what your over-under is before you play. Well, thanks for joining us, Kent Weiser. For Scott Hayes and Steve Satter, I'm Aaron Harder. You have listened to the Monday Morning Quarterback. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction 342-5001. As you heard, the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
96.9 FM, AM 1400.